We continue now with the virtue of trust and the chapter on Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus. Plainly, Teresa's consciousness that she was God's little child never left her. It was the inspiration of every word she spoke. This need caused no astonishment, since it was found in her who came to teach us her new little way of spiritual childhood. She said, "The fear of damnation does not touch me. Little children are not damned." "Consistently, you seek to be like little children," a remark was made to her. "Yet tell us what we must do to make a childlike spirit ours. How can we be as a child?" "To be as a child," she said, "is to recognize one's worthlessness, is to expect all things from God, even as a little child expects all things from his father. It is to fret at nothing. It is to have no desire to gain riches. Even with poor folk, while the child is quite small, all his needs are fulfilled for him. But when once he's grown up, his father, no longer wishing to maintain him, says, 'You must now get work. You can provide for yourself.' Truly, it is that I may not hear these words, that I have no wish to grow up, feeling myself incapable of earning my livelihood that is heaven's eternal life. Lastly, to be thus small is in no way to allow your faults to discourage you, for though children often tumble, they are too small to do themselves much harm." Tireless trust. Still other characteristics of her trust were these: tirelessness, obstinacy, blindness, spiritual barrenness and sterility. Spiritual nights and ordeals tended only to display it more clearly and to make it more unassailable. "When I am in this state of spiritual dryness, unable to pray or to practice virtue, I look for little opportunities, for the smallest trifles, to give pleasure to Jesus. If no such occasion offer, I try at least to say over and over again that I love him. This is not hard, and it keeps alive the fire in my heart. Even should the fire of love seem dead, I would still throw my tiny straws on the ashes, and I'm confident it would light up again." Later, she added, "It is most touching to read in the Gospel how the Good Shepherd leaves the faithful ones of his flock in the desert to hasten after the lost sheep. He is sure of them, but how could they stray away, since they are prisoners of love?" In like manner, does the beloved shepherd of our souls deprive us of the sweets of his presence to give his consolations to sinners? Or if he lead us to Mount Thabor, it is but for one brief moment. The pasture land is nearly always in the valleys. It is there that he takes his rest at midday. Truly, spiritual dryness in no way diminished her loving trust in Jesus. On the contrary, for this she had an especial love, in that it gave her the opportunity of pleasing Jesus without experiencing pleasure herself. There are all too many cowardly souls who in spiritual ordeals fall into panic. At once their trust contracts. Such souls grieve the divine Savior greatly. Teresa said, "It is lack of trust that offends Jesus and that wounds his heart. Therefore, to bring him comfort and to make him amends, she besought him to give no heed to her." From her childhood onward, this saying delighted her: "Though God slay me, yet will I hope in him." During the last year of her life, she was the prey of terrible temptations against faith. It seemed to her that there was no heaven. A great wall rose before her, hiding it from her eyes. With this moral suffering, the acute suffering of her last illness was mingled. Yet her trust remained stubborn and obdurate to the end. One day she said to the prioress, "My mother, I would confide to you the state of my soul, but I cannot. At the moment I am too much moved." That evening, in a trembling hand, she wrote these lines in pencil: "O my God, how good thou art to the little victim of thy merciful love. Even now, When thou dost add these bodily pains to those of my soul, I cannot bring myself to say, the anguish of death hast encompassed me. Rather do I cry out in my gratitude. I have gone down into the valley of the shadow of death, but I fear no evil, because thou, O Lord, art with me. Prayers had been offered for her recovery. Heaven's response to these was to increase her physical and moral sufferings. These gave her the opportunity to say, I believe that the saints in heaven wish to see how far my hope will carry me. Daring trust. The trust of Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus was, as she herself called it, daring. Many souls are afraid to set their hopes high. They do not desire lofty perfection or complete holiness, for the very simple reason that they dare not hope for it. Their past is always with them, showing them clearly how little progress they've made in virtue. To such souls, Teresa said, we can never have too much confidence in our God, who is so mighty and so merciful. As we hope in him, so shall we receive. A sister told her of her inability to advance in virtue and of the discouragement which this brought her. She made reply in these words that should surely be inscribed upon our hearts. Up to the age of 14, I practiced virtue without tasting its sweetness. I desired suffering, but I did not think of making it my joy. That grace was vouchsafed me later. My soul was like a beautiful tree, the flowers of which had scarcely opened when they fell. Offer to God the sacrifice of never gathering any fruit off your tree. If it should be his will that throughout your life you should feel a repugnance to suffering and humiliation, if he permits all the flowers of your desires and your good will to fall to the ground without any fruit appearing, do not worry. At the hour of death, in the twinkling of an eye, he will cause rich fruits to ripen on the tree of your soul. She delighted to say that God had no need of time to sanctify her soul. For him, one day is as a thousand years. Jesus can do all things, she said. Trust performs miracles. Jesus has no need of our works, she said once more. He needs only our love. Again, in rapturous ecstasy, she wrote, if all weak and imperfect souls such as mine felt as I do, none would despair of reaching the summit of the mountain of love, since Jesus does not look for deeds, but only for gratitude and self-surrender. Because her trust was daring indeed, there were no bounds to her desire. Her yearning for personal holiness and for apostolate embraced the whole world. Truly, she was justified in saying to Jesus, forgive me if I talk nonsense, in wishing once more to tell you of my hopes and of my desires that reach out to infinity. Forgive me, and bring healing to my soul by granting it all that it hopes. It was after these words that she poured out her heart and revealed her ardent aspirations to be at once priest, physician, apostle, and martyr. She would preach the gospel on every shore at once. She would suffer every kind of martyrdom. She would have performed all the deeds of all the saints to satisfy all her fervent desires. It was then that she opened the epistles of St. Paul and in them found the realization of her dreams. In the church, the mystical body of Jesus, she was to be the heart which quickens all the other members. She was to be that love which to apostles gives ardor and to martyrs invincible constancy. In this way, her dreams of holiness and of apostolate were to be realized. Her noble dreams covered not merely this life. They had even greater concern with the eternal life of heaven. She said, what attracts me towards our heavenly home is the Master's call, the hope of loving him at last to the fulfilling of all my desires, the thought that I shall be able to win him the love of a multitude of souls who will bless him through all eternity. The Lord gave her in this life the sweet assurance that in heaven itself she should continue to do great good upon this earth. To her secret soul, he made revelation that her autobiography should be the chosen instrument of infinite mercies, that because of her, it should teach her little way of spiritual childhood and should band together a great legion of little souls. One evening, welcoming her sister Agnes with serene joy, she said to her, "I feel that my mission is about to begin, my mission to make others love God as I love him, to teach souls my little way. I will spend my heaven in doing good upon earth. This is not impossible, for the angels keep watch over us while they enjoy the beatific vision. No, there cannot be any rest for me till the end of the world, till the angel shall have said, 'Time is no more.' Then I shall take my rest. Then I shall be able to rejoice, because the number of the elect will be complete." Her trust was as great as it was daring. That was why we need to tell ourselves her desires were so vast. God realized those vast desires so fully that at the end of her life she was able to cry in a rapture of prophecy, "Even now I know it. Yea, all my hopes will be fulfilled. Verily, the Lord will work wonders for me, and they will infinitely surpass my boundless desires." The saint was not mistaken. In her trust, there was no illusion. This cannot be gainsaid. Her saying that has become famous throughout the whole world has known perfect realization. "I have never given God anything but love. It is with love he will repay. After my death, I will let fall a shower of roses." We've all heard of that shower of roses. The whole universe is flooded with their beneficent fragrance. One of its greatest boons is that it magnificently confirms the dear saint's words, proving to us that she was in no way deceived, and teaching us the way of perfect and daring trust. What precious encouragement it is for us who so greatly yearn to become saints. From heaven above, Teresa perceives our ardent desires. She knows our helplessness, yet to us also she cries, "Jesus can do all things. Trust can perform miracles. To you too this is plain, I am not deceived. Of God hope all things, and he shall make saints of you. As we hope in him, so shall we receive." One marvelous and extraordinary fact proves to us, possibly better than any other thing, how abundantly God has fulfilled all the saints' desires, wishing in this way to give striking confirmation of her beneficent teachings on the subject of trust. His Holiness Pope Pius XI recently declared the Carmelite saint patron of the missions for the whole world, ranking her with Saint Francis Xavier. This brings to mind the saint's ardent desire, as a missionary, to preach the gospel in heathen parts. When, because of her illness, this desire had seemingly become impractical, with rapturous delight the saint lived to see the day of its fulfillment in the fact that two young missionaries were assigned to her for whom she could pray, love, and suffer. Moreover, this desire was realized in a still more notable fashion. The fervent missionary, then living her life in heaven, had such signal success in her marvelous apostolate in heathen parts that Pope Pius XI had no hesitation in proclaiming her patron of the missions for the whole world. Teresa, the humble contemplative patron of the world's missions, who would have believed this but a few years before? Trust that blossoms into the life of self-abandonment and of spiritual childhood. Finally, the trust of the Carmelite saint was a trust that included every detail of life and blossomed into perfect and delightful self-abandonment, the tranquil self-abandonment of a babe that sleeps upon its mother's breast. Trusting fully in the maternal solicitude of God, she yielded herself without reserve to Him, who loves us infinitely more and infinitely better than we love ourselves. From her writings, let us glean haphazard a few thoughts upon this subject. Even before she had entered the religious life, she had offered herself to the infant Jesus, to be His little plaything, to be His little inexpensive ball that He could kick, pierce, throw upon the ground, leave in a corner, or even press to His heart, were that to give Him pleasure. It was no concern of hers as to how Jesus should treat her, so only she should give Him amusement. Her one desire was to please Him. Once she had become a Carmelite, this inclination to utter self-abandonment could not fail to be perfected. Her sister, Celine, wished to follow her into the convent, but there were insurmountable obstacles. Teresa asked that this opposition should cease as a sign that her father had gone straight to paradise. It ceased, in fact, in a marvelous manner. Thereupon the saint, enraptured at the tenderness of Jesus, cried, "Now I have no further desire, unless it be to love Jesus even unto folly. Love alone draws me. I wish for neither suffering nor death, yet both are precious to me, and I have long called upon them as the messengers of joy. Already I have suffered much. Already it has seemed to me that my bark was nearing the eternal shore. From my earliest years I believed the little flower would be gathered in her springtime. But now the spirit of self-abandonment is my sole guide. I have no other compass. I am no longer able to ask eagerly for anything save the perfect accomplishment of God's designs upon my soul." The ordeal of her temptations against faith was a terrible ordeal that God sent her, less to purify and sanctify her soul, which had already attained to exalted holiness, than to allow her to expiate the offenses of sinners and to be worthy of saving large numbers of them during her life and after her death. She did not so much as wish to be delivered from these painful temptations, and sang her self-abandonment in these simple lines: "Keep love alive when Jesus sleeps. This is to rest when tempests rage. Fear not, O Lord, to be disturbed. Serene, I wait heaven's harborage." The thought of death enraptured her. "I desire neither death nor life. Were our Lord to offer me my choice, I would not choose. I only will what He wills, and I am pleased with whatever He does." Her companions were grieved at seeing her suffer so greatly, and at the thought that possibly she would suffer yet more. She comforted them, "Do not grieve. It has come to this, that I can no longer suffer, because all suffering is sweet. Besides, it is a great mistake to worry as to what trouble there may be in store. It is like meddling with God's work. We who run in the way of love must never allow ourselves to be disturbed by anything." "Would you be glad," a sister asked her, "if you were told that you were to die in a few days' time? Would you not prefer this to the prospect of suffering more and more for months and even years?" "Oh, no," she replied, "I should not be at all glad. There is but one thing that can make me glad, and that is the performance of God's will." This fine passage from Monsignor Gay applies exactly to Teresa, surrendered to God in a trust in utter self-abandonment. Like a sleeping child, whom his mother leaves undisturbed until he stretches out his arms, the self-abandoned soul knows smiling delight at each divine wish and embraces it in pious tenderness. Such a soul's docility is active, and its indifference a loving indifference. It is no more than a living echo of God. Each sigh that it utters and each step that it takes is part of a burning love that shall later mingle and accord with the heavenly love. We cannot more fittingly finish these meditations upon trust in God, in Jesus, and in Mary, than by a prayer to trust great saint. All the reasoning in the world cannot confer this precious virtue upon us, though it may incline us towards it. What we need are God's mighty graces, an abundant inpouring of the gift of the Holy Ghost, and especially of the gift of filial piety. We have no surer hope of these graces than the intercession of her who spent her days of heaven upon this earth and finds her happiness in giving us the intimate enjoyment of her admirable teachings, and in banding together a legion of trusting and self-abandoned souls. Beloved Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus, who by your precept and by your example have revealed to us in so surpassing a fashion the little way of loving trust in God, and who from heaven above continue so to show us it, by your all-powerful prayers, obtain for us the grace of an immense trust. All our ardent desires for holiness are known to you. Your whole sympathy is with them. Yet you know, too, that often we lament our countless imperfections. Aided by your prayers, may we, like you, know the trust of your words. God does not inspire yearnings that cannot be realized. Give us that trust which enables us to say, as we hope in Him, so shall we receive, and which obtains for us the realization of the greatest of our desires, our one unique desire, holiness. May we, like so many others, be the objects of your loving tenderness. Aided by you, may we know in our souls what you yourself have known in regard to God, namely this: if all weak and imperfect souls such as mine felt as I do, none would despair of reaching the summit of the mountain of love. Thus we conclude The Virtue of Trust, meditations by Paul de Jager, S.J. We hope it's been inspirational for you, and that the little flower will aid in your holiness. This tape and others are available from your religious supply store or order direct from Patrick Henry, Route 2, Box 957, Safford, Arizona, 85546. That's Patrick Henry, Route 2, Box 957, Safford, S-A-F-F-O-R-D, Safford, Arizona, 85546. Thank you.